This is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, and this is Attention Please.
Attention Please.
May I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
Can I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention?
This week on Attention Please, I'm talking with Emily Geary, who is with SWCA Environmental, and a consultant group that is working with Jefferson County to develop a community wildfire protection plan, which will be designed to make sure that people can be ready in the event of a wildfire if they have to evacuate, be prepared ahead of time with go bags and things like that, but also to make their houses or their land a defensible space so that the fire doesn't take their house when it comes. This is Jim Burke, and this is Attention Please on KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. And I'm speaking today with Emily Geary, who is with SWCA Environmental. Good afternoon, Emily.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Sure. What is SWCA, and why am I talking to you today?
SWCA is a full-service environmental consulting firm. We are based in Phoenix, Arizona, and have offices throughout the country. And the reason you and I are here today is to discuss the Jefferson County Community Wildfire Protection Plan. The county hired SWCA to lead the planning process and develop a community wildfire protection plan.
Oh, okay. So the WFPP, the Wildfire Protection Plan for Jefferson County.
Yes, it's CWPP, Community Wildfire Protection Plan.
Got it. Okay, CWPP.
A lot of acronyms. We're already.
Yeah, I know. We got SWCA. What does SWCA stand for?
SWCA stands for the founder's initials. His name is Stephen W. Carruthers and Associates.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's not Southwest California.
No, I mean, people always want it to be Southwest something, like
right,
Southwest Conservation.
As soon as people say CSW, they just think, oh yeah, it's South by Southwest or something like that. Well, let's continue. So we're here to talk about a community wildfire protection plan for Jefferson County. How does your consulting firm get that ball rolling?
Yeah, it is a collaborative effort, and it is intended to be a community-based plan. We bring together stakeholders representing different interests in the community and managers of public lands that are adjacent to the community, local fire departments, and other representatives from public safety and emergency management and fire and forestry departments. And we lead a planning process where we identify where the greatest wildfire hazards and risks exist. And typically that's in the wildland-urban interface. And we produce a risk assessment through spatial modeling, and we do some on-the-ground survey work. And once we have a clear idea of where the greatest hazards and risks are, then we work to take what we've learned from the model and develop recommendations to address those risks and hazards.
So you just talked about the wildland-urban interface. Is that what you said?
Yes.
So what is that exactly?
That is the intermix where developed lands meet wildlands or forested lands. Mm-hmm. So it's areas that we typically see some homes among the forested land or...
Or the grassland.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And roads and streets and things like that going through wild areas would also be part of that interface, wouldn't they?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Because we had...
Any infrastructure in that zone.
Okay. Yeah, because we had the Beaver Creek... the Beaver Valley fire about a month ago. And it was just by the side of the road on Route 19, and it just went up a hill really fast because everything was incredibly dry. In your assessment, have you guys been finding out that we're unusually dry here in Jefferson County this year?
Yes, we've been learning that. We've been working with other representatives from the county and working with data sets that are available currently, and definitely seeing that the understory is really dry right now.
Right, the understory. And Brett Black, who I spoke to a couple of weeks ago, he was talking about the fact that we are getting a little rain now in September. We had some rain this week and some rain last week, but that it's not enough to make that understory moist or, you know, fire resistant. It's still very dry under there. Is that correct?
I think that is correct. That's what I understand. The conditions are really dry and the soil moisture would really have to be much greater to be more fire resistant.
You guys are with Jefferson County, you're organizing a community wildfire prevention plan meet or event coming up?
We have a few events coming up, and this is a great opportunity for the public to get involved in the project. The public really can help drive some of the decisions about the types of fuel treatments, the types of fire response, and how communities can adapt to wildfire. Mm-hmm. So the events that are coming up really are great opportunities for residents to voice their concerns as well as to ask questions.
And do you know when those things are coming up, those events?
Yes. The first event is next Saturday, September 16th, and that's at the Quilcene Fair and Parade. And we will have a booth at that event. And the booth is located in Lot A, and we'll be there from 10 to 3. Then the following day, on Sunday, September 17th, we'll also have a booth at the Chimicum Farmers Market. That will be from 10 to 2. The exact location of the booth hasn't been determined yet, but hopefully it will be clear. The ways that you can get involved are to visit the booth and you can learn more about the project. We also have some maps helping to identify some of the areas of risk and other conditions on the ground. We also have a community survey, and this is really the most direct way to interact with this project. And the survey has several questions about values at risk, and people's levels of preparedness. Do people have an idea of how to evacuate and when to evacuate and where to evacuate to? So those types of questions are really valuable in this planning process. Once we have a good understanding of what the values at risk are and how prepared residents feel they are in the event of a wildfire, we can tailor recommendations to really meet people where they're at.
So it's not just to pass along information to the general public, but also to get information from the general public as to how they are ready or not ready for a wildfire event that might force them to evacuate their homes. And I assume, I mean, I was talking to Brett Black about this, about the idea that you can make your space around your house or around where you live more defensible against fire. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Yes, there are several different on-the-ground practices that homeowners can take. And the idea is to create defensible space around the home. The space around the home is typically divided into three different zones called the home ignition zones. And that first 0 to 5 feet is the most impactful. In this space is really where you have the greatest potential to reduce the risk of wildfire or of a home catching on fire. Mm-hmm. And some of the practices that are most important in this area are to remove vegetation that's touching the home, to clear any gutters of debris, to take firewood that might be stacked right against the home and move it beyond the zone. To provide hardscaping or rock or crusher finds or glass or some type of patio tiles up against the house instead of vegetation or wood chips
or decking
or other material that could easily catch on fire.
Right.
Sorry, what did you say?
I said or decking. I guess cedar decking right next to the house is probably not the best thing because that would probably go up first and then the eave of the house would catch on fire.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is a fascinating thing to me, and I hate to think about my house right now about the there's tall conifers behind it. There's a hedge right in front of it that's growing right up against it. And yeah, there's vegetation all around it that could potentially catch fire.
Yeah, and that's often how homes catch on fire, is there is an ember or a flammable object that ignites that then catches the home on fire. Mm-hmm. So other sort of basic maintenance practices, like repairing a shingle, placing screens over attic vents, are really good practices to reduce that risk. Because if an ember were to enter the attic or the roof, I mean, that's a really high risk for setting a home on fire.
Oh, interesting. So an ember could fly in through the attic vent if it doesn't have a screen on it, and instead of popping off because it hits a screen, it just flies in there, and then the cellulose insulation or whatever is in the attic and the wood that actually makes the truss of the attic space starts to catch on fire. Wow.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So there's plenty to think about. It's funny because, you know, we live in the Northwest, and we've been so used to having moisture everywhere from about September to May or June even. The joke has been for decades that it's going to stop raining on July 5th after the holiday, and then it's going to start raining the day before the Labor Day weekend or on Labor Day weekend, and that you get about a 2-month span of dry, warm weather, clear skies and all that. And that's how people get lured into moving to Seattle and the area around it. They go, oh, this is beautiful. There's no humidity. There's no bugs. I love this. And, you know, people coming from the East Coast or from down south or anywhere, they're just like, wow, this is wonderful. What a great summer. But this year, unusually, we started dryness in May and continued through June and into July and August. And now we're in September, and it's still very, very dry out there. So I think for a lot of people, this is a wake-up call. It's like, we don't live in Arizona. We don't live in Nevada. But we really have to start thinking about these things locally.
Yeah, we're seeing, you know, wildfires in places that typically haven't had a history of wildfires. Mm-hmm. And
Alaska, it's really becoming... Alberta. Yeah. BC. Yeah. When we don't have the fires here, we import the smoke from Canada or from Oregon or Idaho.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Eastern Washington. No, that's become a thing too. We only had a smoke event for about a week here this August. It was sort of off and on. And it wasn't extreme the way it was last year. I think last year it was in September. And we had like almost a solid week of really bad air. I mean, in the 200s and 300s, like stay inside, don't go anywhere kind of air. The sun was red behind the haze, that kind of thing. Whereas this time it was just yellow or orange, you know. that's the local way of assessing whether there's too much snow. You know, I know we have numbers on our weather apps and things, but if you look at the sun and you can actually look at it, That's a clue that something's wrong. But if it's yellow or orange or red, it's very bad. But anyway, I joke about a very serious thing, and I digress. This is KPTZ in Port Townsend, and this is Attention Please. So tell me what else, this process that you're going through with the county, after these events on the 16th and 17th at Quilcene Fair and the Chimicum Farmers Market, how long before you analyze all the information that people have given you to bring a recommendation to, I assume, the Jefferson County Board of County Commissioners? Or would it be another, do you have another interface with the county?
The county commissioners will approve the final plan, and we intend to have a draft plan at the end of the year or early next year, and that plan will be available for the public to review and submit comments on. And then in the early months of the new year, we will review all of the comments and make changes that we're able to make, and then we'll be able to finalize the plan and present it to the Board of Commissioners for their approval.
So that'll probably take place over the next winter?
Yes. So yes, the draft plan should be available for public comment sometime in December or January.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And maybe I could also mention that part of this project is to make information publicly accessible and engage with community members. And we are in the process of developing a hub site or a project website to provide that information. So when the draft plan is ready, it will be posted on the hub site along with the Jefferson County's website. And the hub site also has really good information for homeowners on actions that you can take to create defensible space or harden the home or generally prepare for wildfire.
Super. What do you know the URL of the hub site yet?
Well, it's still in development, so we don't have the URL yet, but it will be hosted on the county's website.
Okay. So if people go to the county's website in November or December, you'll start to have a presence there?
Probably, yes, sometime around that time.
All right. So when the draft plan comes along, people will be able to read it. And in the meantime, they'll be able to look at things on the website that you create to do better things to defend themselves against wildfire and to make it easier to evacuate in the case of an impending wildfire coming down on their property. Do you want to talk about that at all, about the go bag idea or the, what do you need? I know that there's three levels of alert. One is start to get ready. The second one is be ready to go any minute. And then the third level, and I'm just paraphrasing what Brett Black told me a few weeks ago. And then the third level is get out. Don't waste any more time and go. And during the Beaver Valley fire, the people who had to evacuate, they weren't even given warnings one and two. They were pretty much given warning three, like get out now, because they didn't know which direction it was going in. And the houses around that fire were also surrounded by large, very dry trees, conifers. So what are your recommendations? Can people prepare way ahead of time so that they can just go when it's time to go?
Yes, those are great questions. So there is a national program called Ready, Set, Go. And as you described, there are three levels of getting prepared to evacuate. Mm-hmm. And something that's important to know about evacuation is that the evacuation route will need to be determined during the time of the wildfire. There could be hazards on roads that typically people would want to use for evacuation, and they may not be available.
Right.
So the local fire department will really have to provide the information about how to evacuate, which routes are open and available. And that information often comes through a reverse 911 system, but each county, sets that up. So it would be up to the county to determine the best way to do that. And your other question about being prepared in advance, yes, a go kit is highly recommended. And a go kit typically includes some clothing, food for up to 3 days, water, important documents, cash. A lot of people overlook that that you could have a loss of power, which means that you couldn't access ATMs. Also, any medicines or prescriptions, and I think a spare set of keys to your home is also recommended. I can't remember exactly why.
My guess would be in case you have to hand them off to somebody else to check on your home before you can go back. I'm just making that up, but
that makes sense,
right?
And
I mean, that here, take the keys to my house, Mr. Fireman, and please go check my house, make sure it's safe, and then we'll come back. I mean, that's the only reason I can think of, unless having a second set of keys means that you can also get somebody else back to your house before you get there, or something like that.
Yeah, maybe that's part of it too. Yeah, just having options. Yeah, and there's a lot of great information available on FireWise USA. It's a website that is dedicated to providing education and information to homeowners on how to prepare for wildfires and how to mitigate the risks. And there are some great checklists for your go kit on that website.
And I imagine that Smokey Bear recommends that website as well.
Probably.
I spoke to a state forester a few months ago about Smokey Bear. I had a great time with him because we were talking about Smokey Bear, a beloved character that's been telling people that they can prevent wildfires. And he's Smokey Bear has been telling us that, I think, since the 1940s or 50s. Long time, anyway. So let's see. So we've talked a little bit about evacuations. We talked a little bit about go kits. What else do we need to talk to our, or what else do you want to share with our listeners about what we're talking about here?
I think the other important messages are that it is important to be prepared, even mm-hmm. in environments where you don't typically have fires. Environments are changing, and it is important to put this on people's radars to help raise awareness. Also, in addition to like getting involved in the planning process, and that might mean completing the survey or reviewing the draft, there's also a lot of value in just grassroots communication, talking to your neighbor, finding out, you know, if they have a go kit, finding out, you know, in the event of a wildfire, if you check on your neighbor, see if they are doing okay, see if they know where to go, if there is an evacuation, you know, just really that on the ground sort of neighbor to neighbor communication and planning can be really helpful.
There's a, yeah, there is a countywide effort called NPREP. And
I've heard of it.
Yeah, and it's to make sure that your neighborhood is prepared in the event of a disaster or some sort of an event. And it can be anything. It could be anything from a tsunami, an earthquake, any kind of weather event that would cause your house or your neighborhood to become uninhabitable or cut you off. Like if we actually had the Cascadia subduction event that could happen any minute or 100 years from now, it could create a tsunami and a disastrous situation around here, especially in Jefferson County, where we might be cut off from the mainland in terms of power, in terms of food, in terms of water, in terms of all sorts of things. And so then we would need to hunker down and be stay in place and wait for help to arrive from elsewhere. And I guess the Navy and statewide agencies might be helping us out. But if a tsunami event comes in and really messes up Puget Sound, the central Puget Sound will be tended to first because they'll probably have the greatest number of impacts. But this is a different kettle of fish. It's getting out if you need to instead of staying in and hunkering down. So that's a really interesting distinction and one that's not lost on the people of Lahaina, Hawaii, for example, who seemed to think that nothing was approaching them, and yet it did because they didn't set off the sirens because the guy thought, well, no, they're going to run toward the fire instead of away from it. It's like, are you sure? Because it would at least wake them up. I mean, I don't quite, those things are incredibly loud. We had a test just on Monday down at the Northwest Maritime Center, and you can definitely hear it inside quite well in the coffee shop there. So kind of frightening whenever it happens. And I notice when I look around the room, whenever that happens, that there are people who are not from around here who go, wait, what is that? So calmly explaining, that is a tsunami alarm. It's just being tested because it's noon on the first Monday of the month. Don't be alarmed. Just remember that if you hear that sound again and it's not the first Monday of the month and noon, find higher ground because we're down here right near the water. Climb that hill. Don't take your car. Just run. and they go, I think I want to go home now. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So NPREP is a neighborhood program to make sure that the neighbors know each other, that they can rely on each other in the event of a disaster or an emergency. And by having these neighborhood nodes with, I guess, neighborhood captains, they can make sure they have things that they need if they need to pool their resources, or they have a specific central place to go to find out more information. another way they can find out.
That's wonderful that you have that framework and that planning is already happening.
It is, but it's still, there needs to be more uptake on it, apparently. I heard that the other day, that it takes time. It's kind of overwhelming to a lot of people to think about these kinds of things and to work through what they, you know, what you need to do. So that's part of it. There's resistance to thinking about disasters. I can understand why.
Yeah.
It's upsetting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. People would rather think about a lot of other things first.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think we're just about at the end of our tether here.
Okay.
Emily, any last words about any of this process?
I just encourage people to get involved. And you can do that through the survey, through visiting a booth at the Quilcene Fair or the Chimicum Farmers Market. And then when the draft plan is available, please feel free to review it and submit comments. And we welcome the public to be involved. And we hope that this project can really raise some awareness about actions homeowners can take and knowing what you need to know to help prepare for a wildfire.
So SWCA Environmental is leading this or is working with the county on a county wildfire prevention plan. Is that correct?
It's actually protection.
Protection plan. County wildfire protection plan. And
sorry.
Because, of course, we want to prevent it, don't we?
It's a community wildfire protection plan.
Community wildfire protection plan.
We got it, yes.
Wow. The Community Wildfire Protection Plan is being worked on by the county as well as SWCA Environmental. I'm here with Emily Geary, who is a representative of that company. And on the 16th at the Quilcene Fair and Parade there in Lot A, you'll have a booth there from 10 to 3. And on the 17th, you'll have a booth at the Chimicum Farmers Market from 10 to 2. People can go to FireWise USA or look up Ready, Set, Go if they want to be ready for some kind of a disaster or a plan for getting away from a wildfire if you're in the path of one. Emily, thanks so much for being here on Attention, Please. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here.
All right. Have a good day.
Okay. Bye.
This plan is going to be developed with the county, and the draft of it will be presented to the BOCC in December, and then they will develop and refine the plan based also on your input. So, on the 16th of September, you can go to Quilcene Fair and Parade and go to Lot A. There's a booth there from 10 to 3, being manned by people from CWPP. 17th, there's a booth at the Chimicum Farmers Market from 10 to 2. In the event of a fire, if you want to be ready ahead of time, there is a, if you look up Ready, Set, Go on the internet, it will show you how to develop your own plan for evacuation plus your own go kit. Somewhat unlikely, but becoming more likely event of a wildfire in your neighborhood. You can also go to FireWise USA. My thanks to my guest, Emily Geary of SWCA Environmental, for talking about a community wildfire protection plan for Jefferson County. This has been Attention Please. I've been your host, Jim Burke. Thanks so much for joining us this week on Attention Please.